2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome back into another edition of the Jazz Notes podcast, and we're starting our 10 teams, 5 weeks, 5 questions. I hope I can get all these teams in 5 weeks, where we talk to 10 different reporters from 10 different teams in the next 5 weeks leading up to the regular season of the NBA, and we ask each of them 5 questions. Okay, it actually turns out that I each ask them probably more like 6 questions, but I don't want to keep them too long. They're busy people, but I wanted to ask them at least 5 questions to find out about each Western Conference team that I am interested in this next season. These are teams that I'm interested in. So I didn't go and just say, oh yeah, I want to interview this team or someone about this team because they're going to be in the playoffs next season. This is more of a, I'm interested in some of these teams and I want to find out more about them. Some of them, yes, they will be in the playoffs next season. And some of them are really good. And one of the top teams, the first team we're going to talk about is the Denver Nuggets. And we, I talked to Nuggets team reporter Chris Dempsey about the Nuggets. This team is interesting to me because they didn't make a lot of changes in the offseason. It was kind of like the Jazz the past couple of seasons. Not a lot of changes. Wanted to see how the team developed. And that's pretty much what happened to the Nuggets. But I wasn't too shocked that they didn't make any changes this offseason, mainly because they finished with the second best record in the Western Conference last season. And they made it to 7 games in the Western Conference semifinals. So, yeah, I wasn't too surprised. So I wanted to ask Chris Dempsey, my first question to him was he surprised that they really didn't do anything except for go out and get Jeremy Grant?
You know, the only reason I would say I'm not surprised either is because, you know, they didn't even just hint at this. President of Basketball Operations, Tim Connelly, Arturis Kondratsouvis, the general manager, and, you know, a lot of the executives, obviously the coach as well, they just kind of hinted at really and talked about openly about really liking what they have as a basketball team. They felt that it was still growing. It was still kind of a work in progress from the standpoint that the young players were growing into themselves, growing into NBA veterans. And so, you know, when they had as much success as they did, you know, getting to the playoffs, 1 game away from the Western Conference Finals, I really think that sealed the deal in terms, in their minds, in terms of, you know, okay, let's just not change this equation. You know, had they fallen short of the playoffs, period, or maybe gotten into the playoffs, but suffered a 4-1 loss in the first round or something like that, maybe that would have spurred some more significant changes in the off season. But given the success that they had and where they think that these players can go, it made sense to me, and it was no surprise to me that they weren't not super active in the free. They weren't active at all in the free agent market in terms of signing other free agents. And I think this team still has a window to do some things if it wants to at trade deadline or what have you. But right now, they like the equation. They want to see how it plays out. And, you know, if in February they feel like they need something different, then I think that's the time we would look for this team to do something.
So they do trade for Jerami Grant this offseason with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Where does he fit into this team? If this team, I'm not saying the Nuggets were perfect this past season, but they it's fun, as I will continue to say, it is fun to watch the Denver Nuggets season in and season out as they continue to grow around each other. Paul Millsap's getting a little bit old. You get Jerami Grant in here. Is Jerami Grant a starter this next season, or is he going to be coming off the bench? Where does he fit in with this team?
Yeah, so I think he'll be coming off the bench, and you know, he'll be one of their one of the first players coming off the bench for the Nuggets, probably backing up Paul Millsap at that power forward spot more than anything else. And then I think what the Nuggets were really looking for and what he'll help them with was just an additional defense, the additional ability to be able to switch screens on the perimeter, and have length out on the perimeter. Defensively, I think, especially when they look back at how they lost to the Portland Trail Blazers and C.J. McCollum really just caught fire and could not be stopped in Game 7, that second half of Game 7. They wished probably that they had more length out there, just another body to put in front of them, hands in the face to contest shots a little bit better. And so I think Jerami Grant will help them with that. And then also he just gives them another guy that could probably knock down a corner three-point shot, one of the better three-point shooters in the NBA last season. So, from the standpoint that he can catch and shoot from the three-point line, which helps spread things out, keeps things spread on offense, and then defensively gives them just another long, lengthy guy so they can be a little bit more versatile defensively. I think they like him for both of those reasons. And then, obviously, athletically, he's a very, very good athlete. The Nuggets run a lot of lob action, especially with that second unit. And so he'll be obviously included in a lot of that as well. So just another piece, that they feel like continues to add to the equation to finish off that pie, if you will. So that's what they're seeing, I think, in Jerami Grant.
You just mentioned the, I guess you could say, lack of length on the perimeter for the Nuggets. The one thing I've been a little bit worried about when it comes to the Utah Jazz this next season is, yes, it's going to be really nice to have a point guard who can score for the Jazz this next season, but I'm a little concerned that their backcourt is a little small. Looking at the sizes of Jamal Murray and Gary Harris, two of your starting backcourt mates, they're both 6'4". Are you a little worried that these guys are going to be able to survive or even thrive when you have two kind of smallish guards in your backcourt, especially when you go up against some teams and they're shooting guards like 6'7" and 6'8"?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was a question that they had. I guess my final answer to that would be no, only because I think that they've shown, when you look at the beginning of last season, this was one of the better defensive teams in the NBA. They started off the season, they played a big chunk of the first third of the season as the number one defense against three-point shooting and the top 3-4 defense overall. And so I think they found, they figured out what they need to be schematically and then effort-wise to make themselves successful on the defensive end, really being aggressive in pick-and-roll situations where they were passive in years past, and that didn't work for them. It allowed players to kind of just get downhill, get into the paint, and finish wherever they wanted to finish. And so I think what they've been able to do is figure out the strengths of the players that they have, and even if they're smaller than some of the players that they'll be guarding, how can they harass that player, offensive player, into making a mistake or into missing a shot? And so I thought they made really good headway in that last year. And so some of those questions really did go away. And I don't know that they'll return unless the Nuggets really, their defensive profile really suffers, especially at the guard spot, especially on the perimeter. But having said all that, they still recognize the need to have another lengthy guy and another player out there that can help switch anybody else that would be out there on the perimeter. And so they're cognizant of that for sure. But I think that they, as a collective, made enough strides defensively last year that they feel that they can just build on that and continue to be an effective defensive unit.
Everyone this past offseason, of course, was talking about the Clippers because of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, and the Lakers because of Anthony Davis. But the Nuggets are definitely one of the best teams in the West. What is this team missing to become the best team in the West and be that team that represents the Western Conference in the NBA Finals this next season?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. I think one is they need a really consistent running mate with Nikola Jokic. Obviously, Nikola Jokic can get 20, 30 points whenever he wants to. He puts triple-doubles up all the time. So he's obviously a known commodity and brings it every single night. I think Jamal Murray is going to be the player that his next level will be to be just a big-time productive player every single night consistently. And if he is able to do that, then that gives the Nuggets two really top-flight guys at the top there. And then right after that, they have so many capable, rotation players that can fill it. I mean, going into last season, most people thought that Gary Harris was maybe the second best player on the team, maybe the second most productive player on the team going into the season. Didn't turn out that way, but still, he is a player that has put production on the board. I mean, 2 years ago, you're talking about a 17 points per game guy, 40% from the 3-point line. And so if he's able to recreate some of that, get some of that back, then you have two or three guys there that will really make the Nuggets more dynamic on offense, just harder to guard, and they need to be harder to guard. I think Portland figured them out in that by the time Game 6 and Game 7 rolled around in that Western Conference semifinals. And so for the Nuggets, it's about these individual players' big games growing themselves, and so that they're harder to guard as an individual. You can go left or right. The players, the coaches don't have to run a play to get you to a certain hand, because either way you're effective. And then part two to that is just, the productive, very elite-level production from another guy, if not two more. And I think that will make the Nuggets, take the Nuggets from the level they were in to the level that they want to be, which is a bona fide contender for the NBA Finals. In a Western Conference that obviously got a lot tougher. Speaking of starting there in Utah, the Jazz did a lot of great things with their team in the offseason.
Nikola Jokic, all-star, all-NBA player. The only thing that I can see as a weakness in his game is really kind of his defense, and I'm not sure. Is there another level to his game that we are not seeing? Because he is fantastic. I know he's had struggles against Rudy Gobert when he plays here in Salt Lake City or plays against the Jazz in general, but I'm not sure what his next level is. Is there a next level to Nikola Jokic, or are we seeing just a fantastic player playing fantastically right now?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know what his next level would be either. I would say this about Nikola Jokic. You know, the one thing that I think that he really turned into in the playoffs was every single night it was like 28 points per game in the playoffs. And if he does that, he's not necessarily been that player in the regular season. And so if he takes what he was as a player, as an aggressive scorer, as a guy who goes out, gets his numbers, but his numbers really do equal wins for the Nuggets. I mean, they are not empty stats with Nikola Jokic. And so if he turns into the player he was in the playoffs over the course of 82 games in the regular season, I mean, he was already first-team All-NBA, but I mean, I think he would really be in a bona fide in that MVP conversation. And maybe that's the next level for him. I thought defensively he made great strides last year. I mean, this is not going to be a player that's going to be, Rudy Gobert-esque at any point in his career on the defensive end. But I thought his effort level, his smarts, and then his ability to kind of stay away from silly fouls and stay away from foul trouble, I think all those things were much better. He was much better in the pick and roll. And so I think he can improve there as well. And so if maybe he can make another incremental improvement defensively. Maybe that will help him round his game out as well. So many teams won't try to just attack him, get him in space and attack his feet. So maybe there's a little bit of improving to be done there. But offensively, I mean, this is just one of the, not a lot of athleticism, but he is one of the better offensive forces in the NBA, and I don't know where he goes, in that respect next season.
I'm going to cheat and ask you a sixth question. We talked about where, after all the offseason moves, which team, where would you seed them right now? Not for the playoffs, but, where would you seed these teams going into the regular season? I put the Denver Nuggets at number one. Maybe I was taking into account that Kawhi still, I don't know how many games Kawhi is going to play for the for the Clippers. Wow, I'm really having a tough time there. Not the Lakers, that's for sure. I don't know how many he's going to play. I don't know when Paul George is going to be healthy or how much he's going to play this season. But I'd say at least going into the season, Denver's number one. If not, they shouldn't be lower than number two or number three. Where would you put the Nuggets right now?
Yeah, I'd make him a top three team as well. You know, I really do love the Clippers roster, but you make a good point, which is, you know, Kawhi Leonard played something like, what, 58 games, 60 games, something last year. You know, if that's going to happen this year again with the Clippers, which, I mean, I think if need be, they'll do that with him because they don't care. They just want to get him to the playoffs, just like Toronto wanted to get him to the playoffs. So if that's going to be the case, then obviously they're going to sacrifice victories in the regular season, you know, because of that. They're just not going to have the best player on the court for, you know, 20 games or so. You know, obviously that's going to affect their ability to, you know, be the number one team or finish in that top two. I think the Nuggets, just from the fact, I mean, they were able to get it figured out last year, especially on the road. And I think if they make another step on the road this year, you know, get to, you know, that 24-ish wins on the road, plus all the home games that they won. They were one of the best home teams in the NBA last year. I mean, the second best home record behind the Milwaukee Bucks last year. This basketball team should finish in among the top two or three in the Western Conference, and I think that that's the expectation that they have for themselves. I mean, they don't look at themselves as an upstart. They don't look at themselves as, well, people don't know who we are. We have to prove it to them. No, they are a proven commodity, and it is very clear by how we're starting to see a lot of the prognostications come out, and they are in the top, among the top two or three, in almost every single one of them. So people expect the Nuggets to be good. The Nuggets expect themselves to be good, and I think it'll play out that way. I mean, they're a basketball team that's there's no players that are going to be resting. I mean, maybe Nikola Jokic gets they ease him into the season because he played in the FIBA World Cup. But outside of that, you know, this is a young group of players. They'll all be on the court for the most part, and they expect to win a lot of basketball games. And they've got the experience that they've had the experience now over the last couple of seasons that they understand what it is to go into Utah and how that feels, to go into Portland and how that feels and how you have to play and how you have to rise to the level of these teams on in those venues to be able to put yourself in position to win a game. And they just didn't have that a couple of seasons ago. So I just think it's just a much, much more mature basketball team with a lot of really very good to elite level basketball players. And I think that will serve them well in the regular season.
Chris, thanks a lot. Fantastic as always. Can't wait to see you when you come back through Salt Lake City.
Absolutely, man. Anytime.
When it comes to excitability, at least when it comes to the offseason for the Nuggets, I would probably say, and we talked about this in an earlier podcast, Jeremiah and I did, so you can go back and listen to that if you want to. If you're talking about excitability of an offseason, the Denver Nuggets didn't have that excitable offseason. They didn't go out and get a lot of guys. But when it comes to a team that is just fun to watch, the Nuggets are one of those teams. That's why, or one of the reasons why, I said, and because of Nikola Jokic, let me just throw that in there too, that's why I think that they could end up finishing with the best record in the Western Conference next year. That doesn't mean I think they're going to be going to the NBA Finals or may not even make it to the Western Conference Finals. They have got a really talented and deep team, and they are a lot of fun to watch. They have a lot of cool stories, kind of like the Jazz too. They're just a fun team to watch. I like it when the Jazz and Nuggets play against each other. I love it when they play the four times that they get to play. Those games are going to be on national TV. At least three of them are going to be on national TV next season. So that shows you right there how much they have respect for the Nuggets and the Jazz. So it's going to be fun watching the Nuggets next year. I wouldn't mind seeing them when they're not playing the Jazz too. They're that fun to watch, especially Nikola Jokic. I also like Jamal Murray. I'm a closet Gary Harris fan. I wish he was a little bit better or more consistent in scoring than he is, but he's still really good. I like him. I like what he can do for this Nuggets team. All right, that's going to wrap it up for the Denver Nuggets. Next time, we're going to talk about, well, an obvious team that interests me, and that's the Los Angeles Clippers. So that's going to come up on the next Jazz Notes podcast. Speaking of Los Angeles, I'm taking a break. I'm going on vacation. So until next week and our next Jazz Notes podcast, where we talk about the LA Clippers, we'll talk to you later. And thanks a lot for downloading and listening to the podcast. And talk to you soon. Bye.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.